Former EFF MP Andile Mkitama launches Black First, Land First movement at the weekend. According to him, the BLF is not a political party. Mkitama was part of the three EFF MPs expelled from the party after allegedly questioning Julius Malema's leadership of the party. He was expelled after accusing Malema and EFF Deputy President Foyj Shivambu of embezzling party funds and of corruption. They approached the court to declare the party's inaugural elective conference, where Malema was elected as a leader, null and void. We're on the line to Andile. Andile, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Andile, how would you describe the Black First, Land First movement?
Yes, we say we are not a political party. Politicians, as people generally know, are there for themselves and create all kinds of problems for people. We are a revolutionary movement. That means that we move from the premise that South Africa, since 1652, has been occupied by settlers, white settlers. In 1994, this white supremacist reality we started in 1652, around land theft has not been resolved. So we are still back at fighting for the liberation of black people. That is why we call ourselves a revolutionary movement. We are not a political party. We are not interested in just getting votes and perpetuating the current system. We want to overturn it completely.
Where does your movement fit in within the political landscape?
Well, we are not going to fit in because we are not part of this system. But how we should be understood is that we are pursuing the agenda which was started by people like Robert Sobukwe and Steve Biko, who had rejected, for instance, the idea of the Freedom Charter, which are the ideas that have been implemented since 1994, which have found expression in the Constitution, particularly as it relates to the land question. The Freedom Charter gives our land to white people. The Constitution of South Africa also does the same, and it says we can only get back our land if we buy it from those who stole from us. So the big difference, ideological and philosophical difference, is that BLF, Black First, Land First, is a black consciousness pan-Africanist movement, revolutionary movement. In other words, we follow the ideas of Steve Biko and Robert Sobukwe. And in terms of leadership, we follow the ideas of Thomas Sankara. So we are a black consciousness, pan-Africanist, Sankarist movement. That is what sets us apart from everyone else.
At the moment, you don't fit into the current political landscape, but are you going to be part of the local government elections? And if not, which way do you see your vote going? Will you make the cross next to the EFF?
No, the EFF, the ANC, the United Front all belong to the same ideological orientation of the Freedom Charter, which basically gives our land away to white people. We discussed the matter of the election in the conference, and an overwhelming majority said BLF must contest the coming elections. It's a tactical move because we take the position that we enter politics to end politics. As we frame it, is anti-politics, political engagement. We will participate in elections to expose the system and to help build our revolutionary movement outside of the party parliamentary politics of politicians. So, yes, BLF will participate in the coming elections also to give expression to the Sankarist leadership. We will show that once we have power in any local government, we are going to implement Thomas Sankara's model, where leaders are not the one who are served first, where leaders will sacrifice for the interests of the people, and the resources of the local government will go directly to the people. We'll take away all the perks, the big cars, the nice offices, the big salaries are going away when BLF is in charge.
So then in terms of voting, those that join the movement, how should they vote? What directives are you giving them? Are you suggesting a party to them?
No. BLF actually is going to be registered. It's going to contest the elections. And they will vote for their party and other black people who subscribe to our ideas. In particular, you know, the conference, we adopted the black agenda, which is the complete statement of our principles. In it, we outline how we're going to take land, the land back, how we must transform the health situation, the economy, the whole question of education, and the many other radical proposals, including to end the townships as we know them today. We don't want townships. Townships were created in squatter camps by white people to make us slaves, to keep us inside tin houses as if we are tin fish. We are saying, no, we can end that. And the proposal there, for instance, on housing, is that the townships must be demolished, most of them, houses upgraded, and also the problem of white people's overhousing. If you go to any of the super wealthy suburbs of white people, there's overhousing. One family of two people has got 10 rooms. We say, no, we'll tax the empty rooms. If they don't want those rooms to be taxed so that we can subsidize the housing for black people, we will subdivide those houses and give black people a portion of it. Houses in those suburbs which are standing empty will occupy. And then, of course, the big project of our revolutionary government of BLF will be to establish new settlements where there will be community center based, where there will be clinics, there will be computer centers, there will be all the services are needed, including a community canteen, community laundry, so that women are freed from the burden of raising children. We'll feed our children in communal centers, we'll take care of them after school, we'll give them extra lessons, so that the whole child, the whole community raises the child. No child should be brought up without love and without care. That is the big, big idea that we want to put forward to address the colonial and racist housing structure in this country. And people will build their homes themselves. When you look at our education program in the Black Agenda, you will see we say by grade 12, all students should be able to plant food and also to build houses. Those things are skills that must be given to students as they go through their primary and secondary education.
Andile, you are critical of the EFF's position with regards to the land issue. You have taken swipes at the EFF, saying the party that claims it wants land to give to black people without compensation has surrendered to whites and does not actually believe black people can successfully on farming. How do you really differ from the EFF on the land issue?
EFF is a party that believes in the Freedom Charter. That is why they have said to white people, their leader went to Stellenbosch and said to all those land thieves, that EFF will not take their land so long as that land is in use. So EFF wants us black people, the real owners of the land, to actually only struggle for the land that is rejected by white people. That is their Freedom Charter idea. And in their launch of their manifesto, election, the local government election manifesto, he also spoke about 20% of the land will be given to white people. Now, here is the catch. Remember already they say that only unused land must be given to black people. When you say 20% of the land is given to white people, they mean the 12% of the highly, highly fertile land that feeds South Africa and is the basis of export in agriculture is only 12% and is in use. So the EFF has already surrendered the land question to white people. It is not interested in resolving that issue. It has given white people guarantees. In fact, it is just advising and encouraging black people to occupy municipality land to build shacks. They don't want to confront white capital which has stolen our land. In fact, we know that EFF is in cahoots with Johan Rupert. They have said this very, Johan Rupert now, people might not know, but he's the second or third richest white man in South Africa. He has got that wealth from land theft. He owns half of Stellenbosch, and EFF and Johan Rupert are in alliance today for an imperialist project of regime change, and they have said they must march together against President Zuma. Now, we as BLF have our issues with the ANC and President Zuma, but we'll never enter into alliance with white people to overthrow this government to perpetuate white supremacy. So the land question of the EFF is there to make sure that white people's land is not taken. It is a ruse, it is a strategy, just like the Freedom Charter strategy to perpetuate land theft. We want all of South Africa's land, because all of it was stolen from black people and it belongs to black people. There's a fundamental difference, and we'll never give white people any guarantees. We will not march with white capital. We will not hold hands with monopoly white capital, because that is the actual enemies that keeps black people oppressed.
What is your stance on racism? Do you believe there is a possibility that racism is on the increase as white people are starting to fear the reality of losing white privilege?
No, racism is not on the rise. Racism has not in South Africa been confronted and ended. And the white arrogance comes from the power, the economic power, social and actually cultural power that white people hold. I mean, we are a South African country. In a country in Africa, me and yourself speaking English right now, it shows the cultural superiority of white people, which they have injected, which they have imposed from the colonial era of stealing our land and converting black people into becoming servants and workers. Until we address the land question, racism is still going to be a reality. White arrogance, including judges, will insult black people, will send us to jail, because when they look at us, they don't see human beings, they see subhumans who must be treated as animals. But how do we resolve that matter? It cannot be, it's not an issue of education or an issue of negotiation. It's an issue of taking back our land without paying a cent for it, taking the economy, and in the black agenda we explain, it is not just nationalization. People, if not careful, if we just nationalize and give power to politicians such as Julius Malema to become the new boss, all of us will become slaves. We must nationalize and socialize, meaning direct ownership must go to the people. We must not become little children beholden to a state run by politicians who are going to determine how things are done. But we must only, if we do that, bring back the land, give it to black people without paying for it. The economy must be nationalized and socialized. These are the two interventions which will make sure that racism is seriously crippled, including our housing policy of PLF, which is in the black agenda. We must make sure we break the racial spatial design, where white people are in the suburbs living very well there and we're in the townships. Take those houses that white people don't use, those houses, rooms which are not occupied, tax them. And where they don't want to do so, subdivide, let black people occupy those spaces over and above the new settlements that we must do. This is the only way we can end racism in this country and make white people part of a society where they are not superior and above, but they've paid reparations and they live as Africans in the African continent. Otherwise, they must go back home where they come from.
This morning, while you speak on Radio Islam, we have whites as well as blacks as listeners, and up until this point, you've been chatting to them and speaking in terms of white and black. But within our own listenership, we have those that are of Asian origin, the Indians as well as the Cape Malay, the Coloureds. What do you have to offer for them, and where do they fit into what you have to offer?
The Cape Malay, the so-called colored people, the so-called Indian people in this country are all black people. We are all oppressed. We all know some of them arrived here as slaves brought here by white people. We know that people in the areas of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, or so-called Indians, were brought there as indentured laborers. They did not come here as colonialists. They did not come here as enslavers. They came here as oppressed people. We are oppressed by the same enemy. That is why we are all black. That is why we must all unite. That is why we must all learn our history and understand our common suffering and end the arrogance that is there also amongst ourselves. Colored people, Indian people, Africans, we want people, we're all black people, we're all oppressed by the same enemy, and BLF invites all of us to be one and to resolve the problem, would not create problems created by white people. They've kept us apart for too long. They've made sure that they give some of us little bit of privileges to divide us. No, the time of being divided and conquered is past. All black people must come together now and make sure that we get the liberation for real. Don't follow Helen Zille. Don't follow the DA. Don't follow organizations that divide us. We are all black. Let us all work together to bring about liberation so that our children can have a good future. Our children can get out of drugs. Our children can go free in these universities. We can get good health care. And all the townships that we find ourselves in, Manneberg and places like that, Mitchell's Plain, are the same with Khayelitsha and Langa. We want people. Let us not allow them to divide us.
What are your thoughts about our neighboring country, Zimbabwe, with Robert Mugabe as the leader and the ZANU-PF governing the country and the path that they followed in the current situation they're in at the moment?
Zimbabwe is under extreme attack. Zimbabwe is just like all the countries in the Middle East that find themselves under attack from imperialism. We know Palestine is occupied. We know that they will not allow it to expand and to be successful and to get back the land. That's what has happened in Zimbabwe. When President Mugabe and ZANU-PF gave land back to black people, that country came under severe imperialist attack. The economy is being basically destroyed from outside, and we need to understand that. As revolutionaries, people want change. We support Zimbabwe, we support President Mugabe, because we say we rather die standing than die on our knees. We need to take back the land by any means necessary, irrespective of consequences, and that is why we support the Palestinian struggle and the young people of occupied Palestine who stand against the Israeli death machine in their struggle for national sovereignty are our heroes as well. And Zimbabwe for us occupy exactly the same space. And we know that it is under attack. We know there are laws in America, United States of America, that have been passed by Congress to make sure that Zimbabwe does not succeed. We are, of course, very hurt when we see African countries not coming to support Zimbabwe. We also saw EFF, when we were in London, Julius Malema attacking President Robert Mugabe and attacking the land revolution in Zimbabwe, therefore, in our estimation, becoming agent of imperialism. We defend the Zimbabwean revolution, we support the land reclamation program in Zimbabwe, and we know why there are problems in Zimbabwe. It's because imperialism doesn't want that country to succeed. However, we think Zimbabwe is 300 years ahead of South Africa because black South Africans don't have their country. We're a majority which is landless and poor in our own country. We see our land every day when we travel. It is in hands of settlers and foreigners that hate us, and that creates all the psychological problems that we find amongst black people, including the violence in the townships and squatter camps.
We obviously have a situation where we have millions of Zimbabweans in South Africa. Literally, they have fled their own country because of the disastrous consequences that the country is facing in terms of lack of food, in terms of lack of jobs. And this is obviously attacked by the imperialists on the country because of what some of the policies that they have taken out. South Africa stands to go down the same path. And what is your response in terms of then dealing with the situation when we find ourselves in a similar situation to like Zimbabwe?
Firstly, there are some mistakes that the Zimbabwean revolution have made. We can avoid those. One of the biggest mistakes the Zimbabwean revolution made was not to take the economy, all of it, at the same time. See, they just took land and allowed the banks and the retail sector to be still controlled and the money system to be controlled by imperialism. They've used those to attack that Zimbabwean economy. Here in South Africa, we know that only 7,000 white farmers, for instance, produce the 80% of the food that goes into the market from that land I mentioned, from that 12% of the highly fertile soil. We must make sure we empower our farm workers immediately so that food production continues. But we also know white capital and imperialism need what we have in South Africa. We are number one in the mineral resources. So they do not have the same option of simply shutting down the country. They're going to have to negotiate because they need what we have, including the truth that there's a huge settler or white population in this country. About 10% of the population is white. So they have their children in the country. They're not going to create too many problems for them. We must not fear. We must know that if we go into revolution, there are going to be sacrifices to be made. But the price is much bigger than the sacrifices that are necessary. It is a crime. It is evil. As we speak, myself and you, 63% of black people are poor. Half of those people don't know what they're going to eat tomorrow and today. And in a country where there's so much wealth, our youth, black youth, between the ages of 18 and 35, most of them have not seen a job. Most of them, they have no future. Most of them are de-skilled. You know, we in the black agenda, we say, let us actually work with Zimbabwe. When we look at the education crisis in this country, we say, why don't we use Zimbabweans already who are here with the qualifications of O levels and A levels to come and co-teach in our school with our teachers, because we know our teachers are not well capacitated to teach mathematics English, and physical science. If we can bring those Zimbabweans already who are here, we open those doors, we decriminalize them, we help them to help us to deal with the education crisis as an immediate intervention. This will be beneficial for ourselves and for the Zimbabwean people. And let us integrate our economies so that they don't attack Zimbabwe. Tomorrow they attack Lesotho, another day they attack South Africa. Let us have one big African economy that is anti-imperialist and to support the BRICS countries.
What about the issue of religion? Now, we know that it is the colonial masters, so to say, that brought Christianity to our land. What is your policy? How do you plan to redress the religious issue?
On religion, we say that all people have the freedom of religion. No people must be persecuted, looked down upon for practicing their religion. All religions must be respected. And also we must go back to the actual history of our religion come here in the African continent. Most of the religions that are dominant here were brought by either enslavers or colonialists. And we must go back to our belief system and create even new ones. But we must not allow our religious beliefs to divide us. Let us use religion for our spiritual well-being. And also we say we want a religion of resistance. Our religion must help us to fight against colonialism and against white supremacy. Any form of religion that says it's okay for us to stay in oppression because somehow when we die in another world we'll live better is a religion of oppression, is a religion of oppressors, is a colonial religion. We reject that. Religion, all of our religions must acknowledge that there is a big injustice that has happened here, there's a genocide that has happened here, and we will respect only those religions and only those gods if people want to go that direction. That says, stand up, fight for yourself, liberate yourself, take back the land, love each other, protect each other. That is the religion that we would support, and that is the kind of belief system we want to inculcate amongst our people.
Are you willing to pick up arms to achieve this revolution?
In fact, you know, in the commissions that we had at our conference, a lot of young people were talking like that. We're saying, there's no point in this. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to take up arms. We need to fight at that level. And as BLF, we took the position that we must fight for our land by any means necessary. That is how far we prepare to go.
When do you plan to launch your party officially?
The party we are not a party, we are a revolutionary movement. It's something that we constantly must explain. We are not a political party, we are a revolutionary movement. The conference basically was a launch conference.
Okay, so when do you enter into the political landscape as a movement or a party registered that people can vote for?
We believe that by the end of this month, and I'll come back to you and your radio listeners to say that now we have been registered. And of course, we expect the objections and that kind of thing, but it is part of the struggle. We are going to register our movement, our revolutionary movement, as soon as possible. We have all the requirements. We were just waiting for the decision of conference, and conference has come out and said we must participate in the forthcoming elections, and we are ready to go.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Andile. It was really fascinating chatting to you.
Thank you, and thank you to the listeners.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.